Turn with me to 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12. What is it that makes a person successful? As you think about that, do you perhaps think of how much money somebody makes, or what is their job, or perhaps how well they're doing with their family, or in life in general? I believe success in life is found in walking with God and being obedient to Him. If you're doing those two things, you have got the most important thing covered. And success in life is living according to the purposes that God has created you for. And so this scripture we're going to look at tonight deals with a confrontation. It's a confrontation between Samuel and the people that he has served as a prophet and a judge. And he is confronting them over their sin and confronting them over their desire to set a king over them. It's also kind of his stepping out of his leadership role for Saul then to take over. Even though Saul has led them in battle, Saul summons the people to follow him and Samuel rather than just him. And so Samuel now is stepping to the side and he's saying, hey, I'm going to be there to teach you, to pray for you, but now I'll be in a different role. So these things are going on, and as you look at what's going on through the bad decisions that Israel makes as well as the good decisions that Israel makes, we can learn some things about how to make good decisions spiritually. And of course, this is very important to us. Walking with God involves decisions that we make. So we need to make good decisions through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so look with me at 1 Samuel 12 and verse 1. We'll read the scripture. Then Samuel said to all Israel, I have carefully listened to everything you said to me and placed a king over you. Now you can see that the king is leading you. As for me, I'm old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have led you from my youth until now. Here I am. Bring charges against me before the Lord and His anointed. Whose ox or donkey have I taken? Who have I wronged or mistreated? Who gave me a bribe to overlook something? I will return it to you. You haven't wronged us, and you haven't mistreated us, and you haven't taken anything from anyone, they responded. He said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and His anointed is a witness today that you haven't found anything in my hand. He is a witness, they said. Then Samuel said to the people, the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your ancestors up from the land of Egypt is a witness. Now present yourselves so that I may confront you before the Lord about all the righteous acts He has done for you and your ancestors. When Jacob went to Egypt, your ancestors cried out to the Lord, and He sent them Moses and Aaron, who led your ancestors out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So He handed them over to Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, to the Philistines and to the king of Moab. These enemies fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned, for we abandoned the Lord and worshiped the Baal and the Baals and the Ashtoreths. Now rescue us from the power of our enemies and we will serve you. So the Lord sent Zerubbabel, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel. He rescued you from the power of the enemies around you, and you lived securely. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, was coming against you, you said to me, no, we must have a king reign over us, even though the Lord your God is your king. Now here is the king you've chosen, the one you requested. Look, this is the king the Lord has placed over you. If you fear the Lord, worship and obey Him, and if you don't rebel against the Lord's command, then both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. However, if you disobey the Lord and rebel against His command, the Lord's hand will be against you as it was against your ancestors. Now, therefore, present yourselves and see this great thing that the Lord will do for you before your eyes. Isn't the wheat harvest today? I will call on the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain so that you will recognize what an immense evil you committed in the Lord's sight by requesting a king for yourselves. So Samuel called on the Lord, and on that day the Lord sent thunder and rain. As a result, the people feared greatly the Lord and Samuel. They pleaded with Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we won't die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of requesting a king for ourselves." Samuel replied, "Don't be afraid. Even though you have committed all this evil, don't turn away from following the Lord. Instead, worship the Lord with all your heart. Don't turn away to follow worthless things that can't profit or rescue you. They are worthless. The Lord will not abandon his people because of his great name and because he is determined to make you his own people. As for me, I vow that I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I will teach you the good and right way. Above all, fear the Lord and worship him faithfully with all your heart, and consider the great things he has done for you. However, if you continue to do what is evil, both you and your king will be swept away." So making good decisions. How do you make good decisions? Well, first of all, we need to serve God wisely. Serve God wisely. Well, how do you learn this? Well, you see how they serve God unwisely. Verse 9 says, "They forgot the Lord their God." Now, this is speaking of the Israelites during the time of the judges, but you see the Israelites doing the same thing in Samuel's day. They are looking to the king, not to God, to help them against their enemy. They've forgotten the Lord. They have neglected the Lord. They have drifted from God. Over and over again, you see in the book of Judges, during the time of Sisera and the Moab and the Philistines and all these places that are coming against them and oppressing them, they have forgotten God. What we find is that we can drift so easily from God. If you look in verse 20, Samuel tells them, "Worship the Lord your God with all your heart." You see, they weren't worshiping the Lord with all their heart. They'd forgotten the Lord. Sometimes it's very easy to drift in our relationship with God. Sometimes if we're not really paying attention, the joy of the Lord is gone, and you're just kind of drifting. Maybe you begin to kind of go through the motions of your spiritual life, and you're just not walking with God as you once did. If you're wise, what you'll do is you will address that before it proceeds any further. Wisdom says, I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to put him first in my life. I'm not going to forget him, but I'm going to make him a priority in my life. See, what they did, the Israelites forgot God, and what did they do? They went to the Baals and the Ashtoreths. Israel forgets God in Samuel's day, and what do? They say, "We want a king. We are looking to a king." And God doesn't retain his first place. One scripture verse says, "Serve the Lord and fear the Lord and serve him only." You see, we are to put God first in our lives. That's a key to wise Christian living. Solomon was very wise. God gave him great wisdom. But even Solomon, in all his wisdom, though he started well, he drifted from God. And in the end, he did the very things that God had warned, that he said, "Kings, if you do this, your hearts will turn away from me." Those are the exact things that Solomon did, and his heart turned away from God, and he ended up being disciplined by God. So address the spiritual drift in your life. Don't let it just lie there. Don't ignore it. And don't ignore the Lord, but confess it to God. So, "Lord, here's where I'm at. I'm not walking with you as closely as I once did." Maybe you don't even know the reason why. Maybe you need to say, "Lord, would you please show me what is standing between you and me in my relationship? Show me how my priorities have shifted, or what may be awry in my life, so that I can confess that and repent of it and follow you wholeheartedly in my life." Another thing you can do, you can ask for the Holy Spirit to help you have a right heart. I like what David prayed in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a great prayer to pray. It's a prayer to pray after you sin, but it's also a prayer to pray if you have drifted from God. Lord, I like what the psalmist says. He says, He restores my soul. Now, that can be restoring from weariness, but it can also be restoring from a spiritual drift or from a backslidden state. God restores us back into a right relationship with God. Listen, you couldn't get yourself saved and you can't keep yourself right. So you need help with God. Each and every day, apart from Him, we can do nothing. So pay attention to spiritual drift in your life and deal with it, and you will be serving God wisely, and God can work in your life and fix what's wrong. When you are honest with where you are, God delights in that. A preacher was praying with a lady one time, and they were going to pray for her son, and she said, I'll pray first. And she said, thank you, Lord, that my son is such a good boy. And the preacher said, stop. He said, you and I both know that's not true. And so, you know, sometimes we just got to get honest with God. And this is where I'm at, Lord. Here's the brutal reality. Lord, I've not put you first. God, I'm dry spiritually. I need a fresh touch from you. Lord, here's where I am. Quench the thirst of my soul and renew me and restore me spiritually. That's a very wise thing to do. So making good decisions, how? We need to serve God wisely. Secondly, we need to seek God sincerely. Verse 10, then they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned, for we abandoned the Lord and worshiped the Baals and Ashtoreth. Now rescue us from the power of our enemies, and we will serve you. The people come to Samuel, verse 19, as they say, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we won't die. For we have added to our sins the evil of requesting a king for ourselves. What are they doing? They're confessing their sin. And they're repenting of it. Now, Samuel is giving given a warning. So, you know, if the repentance is less than sincere, there's a warning that he gives as well. But in the time of the judges, if you look, you see the same pattern over and over again. And many theologians believe that many of the times where they turn to the Lord, and matter of fact, it says it very explicitly in one place. It says they had not repented, but they called to the Lord to deliver them from their enemies. And when God could take it no longer, He delivered them. I just love that. It shows us the compassion and the mercy of God. So sometimes God will deliver us even when our heart's not right. But we need to sincerely repent. Matter of fact, some people have never initially repented. If you've never initially repented, that's part of saving faith, is to turn from your sin your own way, to follow Christ. And I know in my own personal life, God showed me that was something I needed to do. I needed to be genuinely saved. You can't get revived if you hadn't been revived, right? So I just needed the initial work of God in my life through repentance. But also, as a child of God, repentance is necessary if you're going to sincerely walk with God. They are calling on Him in confession and repentance. We will serve you. Sincere hearts don't serve grudgingly. I can remember a season in my life where I was struggling. I didn't really understand the grace of God. And I was struggling, but I was feeling as though I was under law. And since I wasn't keeping that law very well, I figured I was under imminent judgment from God. And it disturbed me and it bothered me. And so sometimes I would serve, but I would serve grudgingly in my heart, okay? I was doing it because I felt like I had to, rather than doing it because I wanted to from my heart as a sincere service to the Lord. As God grew me spiritually, He showed me, hey, I'm under God's grace. As we talked about this morning, I stand in God's grace. And so I realized, okay, I'm not performing to be accepted by God because I'm already accepted. I'm accepted in Christ. And so that helped me out a whole lot with this. But when you're not sincere and you're not wanting to serve God, just tell Him so. Confess that to the Lord. But true repentance is sincere repentance. It's not a lip service. Some people say, well, I'll do that, and they never do it, right? Is that repentance? No. Lip service is not repentance. True repentance is a decision from the heart. It's a decision of faith and trust in the Lord, and it results in a changed life when a person comes to faith in Christ. And then as a child of God, it results in a right relationship, a restored and a renewed relationship with the Lord. Be quick to repent in your life. All of us will fail. All of us will sin. The Bible says if a man says he's without sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. All of us sin, but be quick to confess it and repent of it. Confession, I just say, Lord, I sin when I fill in the blank. That's confession. But repentance is the next step. And repentance, your heart needs to be right for that. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, I choose to turn from that sin. And I know in my heart, I don't mean that. Okay, you ever been there? And I have to back up and I say, okay, God, would you please fill me with your Spirit? Lord, quicken my heart so that I can repent genuinely and genuinely surrender to you. And He's faithful to do that. And so that is a key. If you're going to walk closely with God, you have to be a good repenter, okay? At least with the help of the Holy Spirit, you've got to be a good repenter. And that's the key to sincerity. God wants us to sincerely want to honor Him and please Him in life. You know, it ought to be more important to us to please God than to please anyone else we know. And if it's not, there's something wrong with our spiritual life. So, the people were wanting a king, right? Let's be like all the nations around us. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Everybody trying to fit in with a culture. What do people think of me? That was one of the things that kept me from surrendering to Christ and becoming a Christian. When God was convicting my heart, because I thought, what will people think of me? People think I'm a Christian already. What if I admit I'm not a Christian? I need Christ. And what are they going to think of me? And I was more concerned about what people thought than I was concerned about what God thought. And finally, I surrender to the Lord by His grace. I'm so grateful for that. How do you make good decisions? We need to serve God wisely. We need to seek God sincerely. Thirdly, we need to trust God completely. Trust God completely. You see, they weren't trusting God when they asked for a king. They thought, well, I know that we've been delivered in the path by judges, but this Nahash guy, he is bad news. He gouges out the eyes of people who rebel against him, and we just really don't think that we think we need to kick it up a notch. We really need a king. We need to be like the nations around us, not just doing this judge thing. And so they look to a king to deliver them. Now, let me tell you something. We need to look to God before we look to government. We need to put our trust in Him. Pray for your leaders. We're called to do that as Christians. But don't trust them. Trust God. He calls us to trust Him completely. Look at verse 11. So the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and He rescued you from the power of the enemies around you, and you lived securely. Now, the Hebrew literally says, and you lived in trust. I like that. It's a way of, it's the Hebrew word for trust, a sister word for the word trust, and has the idea of security, but security that is based on trust in God. I think it's amazing how the church thrived in the Roman Empire, often with emperors that were persecuting the church and against the church, and yet they trusted in God and the church moved forward. What God has done in preserving and growing His church, and by the way, even though the church is not growing as it could and as it should in America, the church is exploding in various parts of the world. God is still doing His work. The kingdom of God is still moving forward. And the world and the opponents of Christianity have not been able to stop God's work and God's kingdom. This is because greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. So trust God completely. Trust God with your life. Bring your burdens to the Lord. Trust God to help you with the decisions of life. That doesn't mean you can't use means to do things or that you can't invite somebody to help you with something. But what it does mean is that our knee-jerk reaction should be to go to the Lord and to pray about the situations that crop up in our lives. That we're looking first to God and that we see people as His agents as we call upon His name, that God uses people to answer those prayers. But our trust is in Him. So if you want to make good decisions in your life, trust God first and trust Him completely. People will fail you. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. No one's perfect except Jesus. And so, listen, all of us are human beings. And we have weaknesses. All of us, hopefully, you're here, you're a Sunday night crowd, right? So you're doing the best you can, right? You're trying to serve the Lord. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. You and I will fail, but Jesus never fails. And we put our trust in Him. And human leaders, praise God for them. They're a great blessing to the church and so forth. But our trust is not first in human leaders. Our trust is in the Lord, right? If God blesses, God can bless. I believe it was Amos who said, I'm neither the prophet nor a son of a prophet, you know. But the Lord called me, you know, called me to leave my cattle or my livestock and come be a prophet for Him, even though I don't have credentials. Did you know God can use people without credentials? He can. So we trust God, and God can take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. All right, so making good decisions, how? We need to serve God wisely, seek God sincerely, trust God completely, request prayer urgently. Look at verse 19 again. It says, they pleaded with Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we won't die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of requesting a king for ourselves. So they're asking Samuel to pray for them. One of the writers that I was reading in preparation for this kind of criticized him for doing that and said they should have called the Lord to the Lord themselves. And, you know, He's their God. They should have called to the Lord for help. But I think they did a wise thing. Sometimes you're not in a spiritual place where you are right with God and you need other people to intercede on your behalf. James talks about that. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So that assumes that there are going to be times where individuals will be in a situation where they are struggling to the point where they're in danger of failing. And they need a Christian brother or sister to come alongside and intercede for them in this situation. One scripture says, bear your own burden, and it's a word for a small burden. Then it says, and bear one another's burdens, and that's for a big burden, okay? So sometimes a burden is so heavy that what we need to do is we need to rely upon the body of Christ to help us with that burden. And so we go to, not the gossip, but we go to the trusted members of the church who will intercede for us so that we can have strength. The scripture says a threefold cord is not easily broken. You get one person, if it's me, it'd be me, God, right, as I'm calling upon God, and then someone else who's praying for me. And then God can then overcome things. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Sometimes you recognize, if you serve the Lord, you recognize that you're having some spiritual warfare. And you say, look, you call up a friend and say, look, I'm having a time today. Would you please pray for me? Pray that God would give me strength and grace, and that God will thwart the efforts of the enemy in my life. What a great thing to do. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need Christ. But also, we need the body of Christ, right? Hebrews says they'd had some people that were going back to Judaism from the church that was addressed there in Hebrews. One of the things he tells them is, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And as he's telling them this, you need to assemble with the body of Christ. He's saying, look, you need each other. You need to support each other in prayer, and you need to be there for each other so that you can share with the burdens of one another in times of crisis so that the body of Christ can go forward in victory. The Lone Ranger Christian is not God's plan. We all need each other. And so request prayer urgently. They requested prayer urgently because they were in crisis. They believed they were right on the brink of judgment. We've added to all our sins the evil of requesting a king for ourselves. What's going to happen to us now? That's kind of the idea. Samuel, would you please pray for us? God told Job's friends that Job's friends have been telling him that, well, the reason you got all this trouble in your life is because you're not right with God. And and they're criticizing him and giving him a hard time. And finally, God says to the friends, that said, you're in danger of judgment. You need to go over and ask Job to pray for you. And if my servant Job will pray for you, I might forgive you. Okay. So they go and they request prayer. And Job graciously prays for them. God forgives them and doubles the blessing on Job's life. So this is a pattern we see in Scripture. You remember Peter? Peter's in prison. And the church is interceding. And they're praying, God, would you release... James has already been killed. God, would you let Peter be released? Let him not be killed like James was. And they're just fervently interceding in this home. And Peter's rescued by the angel and comes, and Rhoda hears his voice and is overjoyed and forgets to open the door and let him in and goes back and says, hey, Peter's out there. They said, you're crazy. Now, here they are praying for God to release Peter and to deliver Peter. And they can't believe that God has actually done what they're asking him to do. But this, you see this pattern throughout Scripture of praying for one another. So making good decisions, how do we make them? We need to serve God wisely, seek God sincerely, trust God completely, request prayer urgently, and... Samuel just gives them some counsel here as a conclusion. He says, verse 21, don't turn away to follow worthless things that can't profit or rescue you, for they're worthless. So many times we run after things and we replace God with things that just simply can't do us any good and they can't satisfy the soul. The essence of rebellion and idolatry is that we have a lean, empty soul. So many people out in this world are empty and lean because they're looking to anything and everything but Jesus Christ. Look at this in verse 22. The Lord will not abandon His people because of His great name and because He's determined to make you His own people. Isn't that a comforting thing? Samuel says, "As for me, I vow that I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." Did you know it's one of my responsibilities to pray for the people of this church? Because God has set me as a spiritual leader in this place. Prayer and the ministry of the Word are two of the most critical duties that a pastor has. And it's, you know, in the book of Acts, the Scripture talks about that. Prayer is so important. But He says, "I won't sin against you by ceasing to pray for you. I will teach you the good and the right way." What a great servant of the Lord Samuel is. They've kind of treated him wrong, but he's still remaining faithful in his role. Look at verse 24. "Above all, fear the Lord and worship Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider the great things He has done for you." That's a good thing for Thanksgiving, isn't it? "However, if you continue to do what is evil, both you and your king will be swept away." So God does discipline His people. Of course, in the Old Testament, there was also the added situation of judgment for those who were Israelites without true conversion of the soul. So, in making good decisions, we need to look to the Lord and walk closely with Him. Samuel's, he's stepping off the stage, but he's appealing to them, hey, put God first in your life. Seek the Lord. Worship Him wholeheartedly. Don't continue this drifting away from God. You serve the Lord wholeheartedly. You be sincere in your worship, and God will meet you where you are, and He won't give up on you. He'll be there. And even though you've sinned, even though you've failed, even though, yes, you've asked for a king, even though all these things are true, God will still be there the moment you confess and repent. Isn't God good? I'm so grateful for a God of grace like we have. So call upon His name. Where are you tonight? Are you walking with God or have you drifted? Are you surrendered to Him? Are you repentant for your sin? If you may need to come to this altar and just talk to the Lord about some things in your life that you've not surrendered to Him and ask God, "Lord, help me to surrender and repent of these things in my life and follow You wholeheartedly. Fill me with Your Spirit so that I can serve You the way I should serve You." Or perhaps you need to come ask for prayer here at the altar. I'd be happy to pray for you. Whatever you need to do, you respond to the Lord right now as He leads. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for speaking to our hearts and calling us to repent and turn to You. Help us, Lord, not to drift, but to walk closely with You.